Let's get started, then, said the captain. Wait a second, I want to... They didn't wait. The captain pushed him toward the edge of the big tank. No, wait, Grant said, his chest heaving with fright, his eyes wide, darting. Sheena grabbed Grant's right arm. She was careful not to snap his bones, but her powerful grip was painful all the same. Two of the guards held his left arm, while a third wrapped him around the middle, and still another lifted his bare feet off the deck so he couldn't get any leverage for his wild-eyed struggles. None of the guards said a word. Grant could hear his own desperate, panicked gasping, the scuffing of the guards' boots on the cold metal of the floor, the hard grunts of their labored breathing. The guard captain grimly, efficiently grasped Grant's bald head in both his big, meaty hands and pushed his face into the tank of thick, oily liquid. Grant squeezed his eyes shut and held his breath until his chest felt as if it would burst. He was burning inside, suffocating, drowning. The pain was unbearable. He couldn't breathe. He dared not breathe. No matter what they had told him, he knew down at the deepest, most primitive level of his being that this was going to kill him. Reflex overpowered his mind. Despite himself, despite the terror, he sucked in a breath and gagged. He tried to scream, to cry out, to beg for help or mercy. His lungs filled with the icy liquid. His whole body spasmed, shuddered with the last hope of life as they pushed his naked body all the way into the tank with a final, pitiless shove, and he sank down deeper and deeper. He opened his eyes. There were lights down there. He was breathing, coughing, choking, his body racked with uncontrollable spasms, but he was breathing. The liquid filled his lungs and he could breathe it. Just like regular air, they had told him. A lie. The perfluorocarbon liquid was cold and thick, utterly foreign, alien, slimy, and horrible. But he could breathe. He sank toward the lights, blinking, squinting in their glare. He saw that there were other naked, hairless bodies down there waiting for him. Welcome to the team, a sarcastic voice boomed in his ears, deep, slow, reverberating. Another voice, not as loud but even more basso profundo, said, Okay, let's get him prepped for the surgery. They strapped him down onto the surgical table. Christ, rumbled a disgusted voice. You were supposed to depilitate yourself. Grant tried to say that he'd done the best he could, but he gagged instead. We'll have to shave him, goddammit. Get the lawnmower. Someone put a mask over Grant's face, and he quickly, gratefully, slipped into unconsciousness. When he awoke, he was lying on his back in a narrow cubicle enclosed with what looked like flimsy plastic screens. The infirmary, Grant realized. Medical monitors hummed and beeped softly somewhere over his head. I'm breathing air. The surgery didn't work, was his first thought. I won't be going on the mission. He wanted to laugh, but disappointment and shame washed out his sense of relief. His legs ached. Lifting his head took some effort, but when he did, he saw that he was wearing a loose-fitting green hospital gown that reached to his mid-thighs, and his legs were studded with metal electrodes. The flesh around them was puckered, red, raw-looking. With trembling hands, Grant reached up to his neck. Plastic ports for the intravenous feeding tubes had been inserted just behind his ears. They were hardly bigger than penny coins, yet they made his skin crawl, feeling those things inserted into his flesh. He knew that beneath his skin the ports were plugged into his jugular veins. How do you feel, my friend? Turning slightly, Grant saw Muzarawa sitting beside his bed. Zeb was smiling slightly, tentatively, like a man hoping for good news. Kind of dizzy, Grant said, letting his head sink back on the pillow. That is normal. Pointing toward the monitors lining the wall, Muzarawa said, Your condition seems fine. How long have I been unconscious? About 6 hours, I believe. You've been sitting here all that time? Muzarawa chuckled softly. No, we took turns. I only arrived here a few minutes ago. If you had awakened sooner, it would have been Lane sitting with you. Oh. The surgery went smoothly, Muzarawa told him. You were an excellent patient. That's good, I guess. Better than you know. Then Muzarawa's smile evaporated. While you were under, we got Irene's autopsy report. What did it show? Her blood was loaded with amphetamines. What? Grant snapped to a sitting position despite his dizziness. Muzarawa spread his hands. Apparently the stimulants affected the central nervous system more strongly in the high-pressure environment than they do normally. That's what caused her heart attack? Grant couldn't believe it. Muzarawa nodded. But why would she take uppers? Grant wondered. To control her fear, perhaps. Or to heighten her reactions, make her more alert. His voice trailed off. You don't believe that, do you? The fluid dynamicist shook his head. No. I have never known Irene to take drugs of any kind. Certainly not a cocaine derivative. She took something from Red Devlin, Grant remembered. When? Several nights before you went into immersion. Uppers, he called the pills. Muzarawa frowned. I will speak with Devlin, but I can't believe Irene would put amphetamines into her system during the mission. She knew better. But maybe, if she was frightened, it would be very unlike her. Then how did it get into her blood? Grant asked. Muzarawa leaned closer to the bed. Perhaps the amphetamines were fed to her without her knowledge. Somebody slipped them into her food or drink. But who would do that? A zealot. Devlin? Grant yelped. Perhaps. No, Grant blurted. It's impossible. How would he know how it would affect Irene when she was immersed in the sub? How would anybody know? Very gravely, Muzarawa replied, My friend, you assume that the zealots are all ignorant, irrational fools. That is wrong, I think. A man might be quite well educated and still a fanatic. It couldn't be Devlin, Grant muttered, more to himself than Muzarawa. He's just a glorified cook. He is a very ingenious man, said Muzarawa. Very capable in his own way. But he's not a zealot. He couldn't be. Why? Do you think all the zealots are wild-eyed hysterics? A man may smile and still be a villain, as Shakespeare pointed out. But Devlin? Grant looked into Muzarawa's wary, red-rimmed eyes. Don't you think it's more likely to be one of us? One of the crew? No, not at all. That would be like committing suicide. But a zealot wouldn't mind dying if it accomplished his goal, or hers. I cannot believe it would be Egon or Lane. What about Krebs? Krebs? She's weird, Zeb. I think maybe she's crazy. Muzarawa blinked slowly several times. Then he said, in a voice hushed with fear, If it is Krebs, then we are all doomed. Training. The surgeon who implanted the biochips and electrodes in Grant was a baby-faced, sharp-tongued martinet, young, almost Grant's own age, obviously gifted and obviously well aware of his talents, impatient with his meager staff, his enforced public service duties, the station facilities, and especially with his patients. You can't stay in bed forever, the surgeon snapped as soon as he yanked back the plastic screen on the side of Grant's cubicle. Two other medics stood behind him at a respectful distance, watching. We'll want you up and on your feet, now. With some trepidation, Grant swung his legs off the bed. They felt like lengths of lumber, as if they didn't belong to him. Let go of the bed, the surgeon demanded. Stand on your own feet. Grant tried it and stood there, swaying slightly, feeling as if he would topple over any second. The surgeon glared at him, fists on his hips. Two other medics watched in silence. All right, now walk to me, the surgeon said, holding out his hands. Grant took a hesitant, clumsy step. His legs hurt. Stinging pain stabbed through them. The surgeon backed away, urging, Come on, come on. Grant moved his other foot. It was like dragging a dead weight, but a dead weight that burned with pain. Walk, damn you, the surgeon yelled. The medics behind him retreated, keeping their distance from their chief. Grant forced himself to take another step, then stumbled. He grabbed for the surgeon, but all he managed to do was clutch the man's sleeve as he crashed painfully to the floor.